Fatherhood should be an experience and not a dictatorship or a guidebook that's passed down to generation to generation. Because when you do that, it gets better.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This podcast is being brought to you by Solid Roots. Solid Roots is on a mission to create unique content, products, and experiences that bring you closer to your people. They want your friends to become your family and your family to become friends. They have great games like Mind the Gap. This game creates connection, conversation, and nostalgia, where each generation has something to contribute and something to learn. My family and I recently played this game three generations wide. It was my father-in-law, my wife and myself, and our daughters. We had a great time playing this game, and not only was the game fun, but the conversations that we had that were sparked from this game were amazing. You can beat boredom and get closer together as a family by playing Mind the Gap. They also have a really cool game called Fright. In this game, you get to scare your opponents to death, but you have to watch out because they can become ghosts and come back and haunt you. They also have a lot of fantastic games that will take family game night to a whole new level. Trust me, all the games at Solid Roots will be nonstop laughs and nonstop fun, and it'll definitely switch things up for game night that everybody in your family will appreciate. Make sure you go to solidroots.com to check out all their great games, including Mind the Gap, which is my personal favorite because not only is it a fun game to play, but it brings generations closer together. Make sure you support these great people over at Solid Roots and pick up some games not only for yourself, but also for other families that you know that like to have fun on family game night. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood show, and I'm very happy to have the one and only, the legendary Daryl McDaniels, a.k.a. DMC, in the place to be. What's up, sir?
What's happening? It's good to be in the place to be.
Love chatting with you. This is the second time I had a chance to chat with you about fatherhood. We're going to talk a little about fatherhood. We're going to talk about your new book, Daryl's Dream, and of course your new music, Ghetto Metal. A lot of cool hints to the past and also now to the present to this song. So we're going to check that in a second. But first, let's talk about fatherhood, sir. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
First of all, I have no idea what to do. How could this ever be possible? This doesn't happen to me. This is stuff that only your mother and father and real people go through, or it's something that you see on TV via the Munsters, Addams Family, Brady Bunch, or Good Times. For real. It was like, what? Like it didn't really seem that it happens to people for real. Because you're always looking at it.
Yeah.
Or you're always, you know, it's your father. You're not that.
Yeah.
And it's only on TV. I thought I was going to live my whole life without experiencing anything I saw my mother and father or friends and teachers. You know, your best friend's father. You know what I'm saying? You had a friend, he had a father. I'm not that. So that was, it was a shocking revelation.
No doubt. And I appreciate that perspective because, you know, when I bring on a bunch of dads, we talk about that. But you're right. Like, there's always that thing, especially for maybe guys, you know, back in our day when I'm 40, I'm in my 40s. And there's always like when you're a kid, you think about like, oh, I want to be an astronaut or a football player or a musician, right? And then when you become, or you found out you're going to be a dad, you're like, whoa. Things like all of a sudden get quiet. You're like,
it was a show, Father Knows Best.
Yep.
And there was a cartoon, I forgot. Wait till your father gets home. What cartoon? That was before The Simpsons. Remember that cartoon? It had the dad and the son, and he was all what was the name of that? Was it Father Knows Best? That was that show in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Father Knows Best.
Father Knows Best was the thing, but like, let me, I'll while you're talking.
What is that? You know exactly when it was a cartoon and would come on at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? It was a primetime show in the 70s, animated feature.
Yeah, you're right. It's called Wait Until Your Father Gets Home. It's back in the 1970s. It was an animated It was an animated series by Hanna-Barbera. So yeah, you're right.
Wait until your father gets, That animated series proved that I'm never going to be that.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I'm never going to be a father. I don't know. That's not what I am. But it's a wake-up call when it happens.
So true. Because, again, you see those, you see your dad, then you see father figures on TV, and it's like, yes. That guy's way too serious. I can't do that, right?
Right. Yes. I mean, I'm keeping it real. I mean, yeah. I hope there's a gazillion other people out there that thought like that but didn't know if it was okay to say. I'm keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. Even when my wife was really pregnant, I was like, this ain't real. Like, no, and no, but when this baby comes out, I'm not a father. Like, somebody else does all this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And of course, besides being a musician, an inventor, and a trailblazer, obviously an author, comic book artist, all that good stuff, right? Storyteller, just a lot of these things. So all of these things, you know, you got to have a passion for, you got to have a drive. So yes. I know that there are certain values that you were looking to instill into your son as he was growing up, but what were some of the other values that you were looking to instill into him?
Well, I guess I come from a mindset. I'm not going to say generation. I knew one of the things from what I've saw in fiction, what I've saw in real life, what I've seen with other families and fathers and stuff like that. One of the things that I said I'm never gonna do, and it's made fatherhood so much easier because it makes it easier to deal with the obstacles and the unexpected and the stuff that you can expect coming with trying to raise a kid. Never force, her father should never force the daughter or the son to be a certain way. What I mean is, you can't say you're supposed to be smart like everybody else. You're supposed to be a doctor. You're supposed to be athletic. You should never compare your offspring to what is in the make-believe world of what a father's supposed to be doing, and even from your experience. Like, I can't say, my father used to do, no, I can't do that to my son, because I don't know who this, my son really is as his individual or her individual self.
Yeah.
So fatherhood is a learning experience about understanding all the stuff that your father did to you that you thought was evil, that you thought was out to get you, that you thought he didn't care about you or that he was just trying to make your life miserable. You get to a point where when you're confronted with the beginning, when you're confronted with the initial incident, event, or moment in that period of being a father, you look back and say, oh, okay, that's why my dad did that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do what your dad did.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's playing hooky, lying, stealing, just the stuff that kids, everything that I did, that I know my son is going to do, I don't force him not to do those things.
Nice.
But I'll do stuff like, I'll wait for him to get curious. Say, Dad, did y'all have parties? And I go, yeah, you know, but our parties was out in the streets in New York and this and that. And basically what are you saying? Did you go to parties and everybody's getting high? Or you know what I'm saying? Did you cut school? Like, they ask these questions without saying exactly what it is. So I can think about everything that I did. And then I think about everything that my father did to prevent me from doing those things. And there's always that moment where I say this a lot, everybody laugh. You know, your father don't let you do a certain thing. No, you can't go to the movies on Saturday at 5 p.m. You should have went at 12 noon. And then you go in your room, you mad, your other friends are gone, and then you go pray to God. God, please kill my dad, because he's so, you know what I'm saying? So those little things, I think your relationship with fatherhood, not your actual relationship with your father or mother, your relationship with fatherhood prepares you and it gives you the CD-ROM of all the options and moves that you can make.
Yep.
Some of the times I say, no, let me not look and depend on what the manual is telling me.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Go with your gut or go with your instincts at that time or what you're feeling, right?
Yes, go with the feelings are the true telling of, the, even if it's the worst thing in the world, go with your gut or go with what you're feeling as opposed to, when that happened to me, my father grounded me for a year. That might not be the thing to do.
Yeah.
For you to this new individual who you didn't expect you to be fathering in the first place. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He or she had to get here somehow, but you cannot do what George Washington's father did for him.
Yep.
You can't do what your friend's father did for you. So I think it's and I think that brings a respectable dynamic to the progression of fatherhood in each generation.
Well said.
I know that sounds very scientific,
but you
need fatherhood to grow and expand so that expanding brings an understanding to the whole essence and meaning of fatherhood.
I am so glad you're on the show right now because that is the mindset. I love that. And people listening to this and watching this can see that you look at fatherhood from different points of view, from your experience as a son, growing up, and then you now as a dad, where you're like, I wasn't prepared for this. And then you look at all the different emotions, all the different feelings, environments, and the variables at that moment, and you decided to either go with your gut, go with maybe I wouldn't have usually gone with this, but just because of the way things are transpiring, I'm going to go with plan B instead of plan A. And I love that. And I think this next question kind of goes into it, kind of piggybacks.
Yep.
What is something that your son has taught you about life or about yourself in general? Because just the answer you had before, it seems like you do a lot of introspective work and thinking about who you are as a person through life and fatherhood. But what is something that your son has taught you about just life or in general about yourself?
Wow, that's so powerful. He does it a lot. He makes me realize that you don't have to follow the so-called written rules created by people who are just like you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they say there's these written rules that you have to do this a certain way.
Yeah.
To put it in layman's terms, he said, you do not have to go throughout life like it's a dictatorship, like you're not good if you don't do it the way everybody else did.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny for me, most of my achievements in life, in my career, my occupation is because of that. But never in a million years, after all the stuff that I did, and my son always says, Daddy, you changed the world at a young age and you experienced a lot of stuff at a young age. He makes me realize that, wow, that wasn't for me to experience fame. That was for me to experience things because your ass was coming. If you understand what I'm saying. In my whole career, I could put hip hop and rap. No, you can't do that. Can't rhyme about people. I don't even play basketball and I got a sneaker deal.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do what Jordan did to have the same thing all the I got a sneaker deal just like Kobe. You know what I'm saying?
Heck, you took the laces out the sneakers. That's not no
yes, one. But didn't even use them. And the other joke is I stole all of the people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I stole it, used and abused it, made it mine, and they still let me in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So those life scenarios, you know, the girl trouble's gonna come. You know that their emotional, mental things are gonna come. You know the drug problem is gonna come. We all got high. We all play hooky. You know the lying's gonna come. So everything that I went through in life that wasn't mirrored after my own father prepared me, along with what I saw my father doing, how he acted toward me and this and that. but it prepared me to be able, instead of, plan A is what did your dad
do? Yep.
Plan B is what should you do?
Yep.
So everything in my life has prepared me to not follow the grain the same way I did artistically and creatively, because it's a creation. You create this being, but at the same time, you gotta let the paint, you controlling the paintbrush, but you gotta let the paint do its work.
Love
you
that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, love that.
That painting, that work of art, that sculpture, even it applies to athletes, even the teaching techniques and stuff like that. Like I speak about creativity and art and mental health and stuff that I do. And a lot of philosophers tell me the greatest minds in the history of the world have said that, Pete, but minds only came about from experience. Oh, fatherhood should be an experience and not a dictatorship or a guidebook that's passed down to generation to generation. Because when you do that, it gets better. It gets better.
So just kind of going with that, right? We're going to talk about Daryl's Dream, your book, but I feel like you can do a book about fatherhood, man. There's a lot of layers, a lot of things. And I think you should be doing a book about, fatherhood, because there's a lot of great views and perspectives.
I guess you probably had other people say this, or you probably in all of your studies and interactions, you have to be able to learn.
Yeah.
And forward, have to be able to, it's a learning experience. No day is the same. Even the little things like my kids got caught smoking weed. Yours got smoking weed too, but there's something different about our dynamics.
Yep.
Because our children are individuals. You know what I'm saying? It's something where you learn to say, okay, generation to generation, all the kids get high. So you expect that kid, especially, unless you're Chucky, a public enemy, I've never got high a day in my life, damn it. So hopefully Chuck's kids don't have that problem. You know what I'm saying? But if they do,
yeah,
I think Chuck has been prepared. Seeing things in society, society, history, and personal experience is the best foundation for fatherhood.
One of the things that you said earlier is just like you take fatherhood should evolve from generation to generation to generation.
Exactly.
And I think you and your son, just, the conversation you guys have together and just kind of the peek inside the different experiences you guys have together,
exactly,
I think is amazing, because we always want to leave this world a better place for our kids, but right, we got to realize that I think back, just wait till your father gets home. That show was like, do as I say. And like the communication is me telling you what to do and you listen and that's it. Now right, I think we're like, let's have a conversation. I want to hear where you're right at, because I know exactly what you felt, maybe a little bit differently
right
at the time in the air and everything that was going on, but the environment and all that other stuff. Let's talk about where you were, because I was there when you were a kid. So
yes, exactly. The situation's the same, but we experience things differently.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that, okay, I had 57 years on the earth, or when my son was born, you know what I'm saying? I've been on the earth for maybe like 30 something years. So he's this new spirit. By the time he gets 5 or 6 years old, it's going to be bullies, peer pressure, teachers, the same situations. But there's a dynamic at 5 that didn't exist, which makes him feel a different way.
Yeah.
So I got to be open to understand his point of view. Just like, for instance, when I was a kid, we didn't have technology. We didn't have social media. Yeah. So I would have to go to the library. I would have to get the physical encyclopedia edition. He's at a push of a button. So you're dealing with two dynamic different emotions. So the end, I think fatherhood is getting to the point of understanding without saying, this is how I did it in 86. So this is how you're going to do it now. That destroys fatherhood.
Yep.
It doesn't give you the chance to experience the joy of fatherhood.
Preach, preach, man. I feel you on all that. So thank you very much for sharing that. And speaking of just like experience in just, school and all this other stuff, Daryl's Dream, Talk a little bit about the inspiration for this book, because you do a lot of great work in different communities, especially, you know, in the New York area. When I lived in the New Jersey area, you did a lot of stuff for different organizations that were helping the youth, right? And just making sure that they were aware of certain problems. So I know that that's huge, but talk a little bit about the inspiration for Daryl's Dream.
Well, I mean, art, we grew up together, basically, you know, same music, same situations, and we can laugh at everything that we have in common, and even stuff that you did that might teach me something and vice versa. So the inspiration for Daryl's Dream just basically came about because if I'm not on stage performing or if I'm not at a Comic-Con, I go into schools and speak. And this was important. It's exactly what we just said about the generational thing. Let's not let that mean anything. At first I started going into the high schools, and I go into the high schools, and everything that has been on a record for the past 40 years, you know, y'all know me in my generation, people from the generation of the last 40 years, y'all know Daryl McDaniels, the third guy in Run DMC, from when I got out of high school, I made it to St. John's University, me, Run and Jay start Run DMC, we hook up with Aerosmith, and we walk this way in Adidas to tell the whole world that it's tricky to write a rhyme. So if you go listen to my records, one of the things that we're talking about here was always in there, probably from the gods and the ones who create everything, purposely, but not for me. But my raps have always, my songs has always been about family. Christmas time in Hollis, Queens, son of Byford. Like, I proudly proclaimed my father. I'm the son of Byford. That's huge to me. Brother of Al, man is my mama, munch my pal. It's McDaniels, not McDonald's. These rhymes are Daryl's, those burgers are Ronald's. I was so gangsta, I diss Ronald McDonald while defending the world, you know. And I ran down my family tree, mother. So I always rapped about school and stuff like that. So y'all got to know DMC, the King of Rock, but you also got to know Daryl. I wear my glasses so I can see. There's a reason why I was so adamant about telling you why I wear these glasses. When I was younger, I got teased, bullied, and picked on because I wore them. Mm-hmm. They wasn't cool until I made a record about me wearing my glasses that made all the other people wearing glasses. We found our leader, you know what I'm saying? So long story short, the book came about because the same way I talk to you, I go into high school and speak. And I would leave, and the teachers and the principals would, no, there's a change in the kid just for you telling your story. You know, because they have all these misconceptions, like people have misconceptions about fatherhood. They have all these misconceptions about what rock and roll and celebrity and fame is. So I go in there and tell them, just like everything you know about me, or I'm Daryl McDaniels from Harlem, Queens, New York. I wore glasses. I loved comic books. I was a straight A student. All of this, you know, they're waiting for the part when was you in a gang? You know what I'm saying? When did you get arrested? Where's your posse? And like, you know, all the preconceived notions about hip hop. So the high school kids, they start changing their attitude, which means they start behaving a little better. Because the king of hip hop has said it's okay to be good and honest and have integrity and share and work together. So the high school people was like, Gee, you got to take this message into the middle school kids. Matter of fact, the middle schools need it more than the high school.
Yeah. Now. Yep.
Like 100% true story. You got to get those kids in middle school to prepare them for life and all of that stuff. Because by the time the kids get to high school, they already think they adults. So. Yes. But it was good. I dropped a little seed to them because, you know, the ones that wasn't stubborn and saw, wow, they saw some positive possibilities. So I went to the middle school art, same thing. You know, the kids started doing stuff like, yo, what you get on your test? I got a 65, but next week I'm going to get a 70. And the teachers and the parents would say, some parents would call and say, you know, especially the younger parents who don't know, who don't know their. My daughter said some man named DMC came to the school and speak. Is this the DMC or Run DMC? And they will go, yeah. And parents will go, but the next time he come, you invite the parents too. But also the parents would say, what did he say to my kid? Kid's coming home doing their homework, this and that. So then those middle school teachers said, Daryl, you got to take that message to the elementary school. For the last 10 years, I would go speak to kindergarten and sixth grade.
Nice.
The same way I'm speaking to you. Hey, y'all, I don't go in and say, hi, kids. have, do y'all know about rap and hip hop? I don't do that. I go in there and say, yo, what's up, y'all? My name is Daryl. I grew up in Queens like you. So, but the phenomenal thing is this, when it's time for Q&A, like 20 years ago when I was speaking at a school, it would be, do you know Michael Jackson? Do you know Madonna? And even a couple of years ago, do you know Cardi B? Do you know Beyonce? But now I'm speaking to these kids when it's Q&A time, it's always this art. How did you feel when you got teased, bullied, and picked on? How did you feel when your mother said you couldn't stay up late to watch the movie? How did you feel when you found out you're a doc? All of these mature, understandable, sensible, smartest questions. And I'm talking about first graders asking these questions about feelings and stuff like that. So those educators said to me, Daryl, you need to do a children's book. And I was like, no, I don't want to commercialize this. You know, for the kids and parents and schools I go to, that's between me and you. But then they said, D, you can do what you've been doing with your music for the last 38 years. Inspire, motivate, entertain, but also at the same time, make these kids see themselves, their possibilities. And I never thought about it like that. So the book came about because-
Book is the plan B, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's the plan B. It's everything I've been doing with my music. But, you know, we're from a vinyl record album cover age where it was visual. You held it. You experienced it. So the book is actually me giving the younger generation the same connection and open space for dialogue and conversation to express their feelings. The same way I've been doing it with my music. Like, you know, when I rhyme DMC and the place to be, I go to St. John's University since kindergarten. I acquired the knowledge. After 12th grade, I went straight to college. When I rap that, people started saying, no, you can still be hip hop and go to school. You can still be hip hop and have family, be honest. So now I'm giving the stories of Daryl. And the funny thing, Art, is the parents want the book more than the kids. Because now they're learning about what was it like for DMC in third grade and fourth grade. So this is a book, the first book in a series of books, the same way I would put out these records, you know, My Adidas and Son of Byford and all the stories I've told was something that could relate so people could see the greatness in themselves. And the book has two purposes. So kids can know it's okay to be who you are. The way you look, what you like, what you wear. You don't have to be like anybody else, like my son taught me. And you could also be whatever it is that you want to be. I tell the kids, everybody don't have to be an athlete or a rapper. There's so many other occupations, violinists, ballet dancers, scientists. Kids need to hear that, but they don't see that in this day and age. It's either this or that. Kind of like what they want to do with fatherhood. This is how you do it. No. That kid that could finger paint is the next Michelangelo or Basquiat or Andy Warhol.
I love all of this, Daryl. And two things. One, I think one of the things I think that you stress to kids and just people in general is communication. You and I right now, we know we live in this world of social media where it's 140 characters. People see a video, a 10-second, 1-minute video, and it's like, oh, that person did this. Yes. That I know exactly what they're thinking. You have this idea. Were you talking to kids? You're letting them know it's cool to care about school and their grades, to have, like, it doesn't have, you don't have to be in a gang to be one of the best, you know, hip hop artists and groups of all time. You know, Run DMC, one of the godfathers, the OGs of hip hop and where it is today is because of you guys. Obviously, you know that. Communication is key in having these conversations and exploring, like, people sometimes will put stereotypes on you, obviously, right?
Exactly.
And you're just like, you talk to these people and you're like, I guess the people who have this one side of you, it's like after they're done presentation and you do your presentation, like,
yes,
never knew that about him. Why did you know? Because you didn't take the time to look at it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it had to start somewhere. But it's funny now, most of my comic book community, you know what I'm saying? My fellow geeks and nerds, when they go back and listen to the music, they're like, oh my God, the Easter eggs was always there. Crash through walls, come through floors, bust through ceilings, and knock down doors. No rappers ever did that. Superheroes did that. Yeah. But I spoke it, and that's actually what I did to the music industry.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Run says, I'm DJ Run, I could scratch. I didn't say I'm DMC, I could rap. I said, I'm DMC, I could draw. So it went over some people's heads, but the real fans was like, yeah, I knew it. So it makes sense to them while I'm doing comic books. You know what I'm saying? And it was just all preparation. And it's funny. I was just writing rhymes because I like to write rhymes. So it took Run, who with his brother Russell and Curtis Blow and all the early rappers, Houdini, they saw the music industry that they could be part of. But me, it was just a way to tell. Oh, I was like, when I first heard hip hop, I was like, oh, shoot, you could tell stories about who you are over music.
Yeah.
So I started writing all these Daryl rhymes. It took Run to say, yo, D, this is good. I'm putting you in my group. And then when I got up in front of people and expressed who I was, those people saw themselves in what I was doing. So the book is exactly what I've been doing my whole career. It's just that the first 40 years of my life prepared me and set me up to be able to write a kid's book. Just like in comparison, what I saw Herman Munster do and Gomez on the Adam Fett and even Fred Flintstone. You know, Fred Flintstone's a father to Pebbles. I'll never be that.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But everything that I experienced became my preparation for being the king of rock, for doing what I did in hip hop. You know, even with the Adidas deal, when we became the first non-athletic entity to get a sneaker deal, the reason why it means so much is bigger than just me, Run D, and Jay, and actual product. Because of what we showed and expressed to the world, when people see the three stripes, those three stripes don't just mean Adidas, Run DMC, hip hop. It means integrity, goodness, respect, togetherness, something that people can remember. That was the three stripe. I saw that in a video when Steven Tyler knocked down the wall. So they seen things. We did good things with it. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt. All right, we're going to finish off the Fatherhood Quick Five. You ready, sir?
Yep. I'm right.
Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one right now?
Oh, favorite family movie. It's probably It's a Wonderful Life.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah, which, I mean, because, you know, great, 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 great message, not even just for Christmas, in general, the importance of him, his kids, fam, and all the relationships in your life.
How one life is very important to the world. I love it.
Yes.
Favorite family song? Was there a band or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your son to?
Oh, of course. The best one is Sister Sledge, We Are Family.
Nice.
We are family. Legendary, you know what I'm saying? That resonates across racial, cultural boundaries. Everybody knows that.
Love it.
Describe that's a back-in-the-day song, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Oh, at a steak restaurant.
Nice, cool.
You don't have to go nowhere, a steak restaurant together. Not eating at home, not my wife cooking. Going out to a steak restaurant.
Nice. Love asking artists, musicians, all this all the time when I get them on. First album you purchased, do you remember?
Yes, I do. It was Larry Graham, one of the greatest bass players ever. Larry Graham had a band called Graham Central Station.
Nice.
And the first album I got was the self-titled, I think the album was called... Happy to See You Again.
Okay.
I know the song that made me buy the album was Happy to See You Again. Nice. Bow, 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 happy that you are my friend. Bow, 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 haven't seen you in a long, long time. Still awake, happy that you're doing fine. So it was always those same songy Harry Chapin, Jim Croce songs that caught me. But I remember I saved my allowance.
Nice. Nice.
For 3 weeks to save up. I think the album was like $8.99.
Yeah.
From Disco Matter somewhere. And you know, I had to go to it with my mother and hold her hand, but I paid my own money.
Money, yes.
For Larry Graham's. I remember the day and it felt so good paying my own money and walking out with the album was almost bigger than me. But I had it and it was over.
And you earned it and you paid for it. It was awesome. Love it.
Yes. Yep.
And lastly, top three words you hope your son would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Fun, crazy. Well, no, that's the same thing. I would say fun, understanding.
Nice.
And open.
Nice. great three words right there. People, make sure you follow DMC on Twitter at TheKingDMC and go to his website, thekingdmc.com, to check out his book. Obviously, the ones we were talking about.
Yeah, the book is available everywhere books are sold and at Amazon.com/YoungDMC.
Young DMC. And also check out, we'll put up links for it, for people to purchase that, as well as Ghetto Metal, the YouTube, YouTube channel. Song. Because that song is legit. It's really cool. It takes, you know, it gives nods to the past, but also has a great sense of like now in it as well. So we'll definitely do that.
It's the reason why I did Rock Box, King of Rock, and Walk This Way in the first place. And I had to pay homage to the bands that created rock so that I could steal and sample it and use it to tell the world how good I am. And right now, I think that fun element of mashing up, being creative, and just experimenting is something that will excite young and old. You can read the book to your kids, Daryl's Dream. After Daryl's Dream, you could go listen to Ghetto Metal. It's the funnest thing ever.
No doubt. Thank you again so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy, but I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Thank you, man. It's always a pleasure being here. And I guess I'll be back soon. Chop it up again.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. I'd greatly appreciate it. And I also wanted to say a big thanks to our sponsor, Solid Roots, for sponsoring this week's episode. They have so many great family games for family game night to take to a whole new level. They have a great family and a great foundation of what they try and do at their company. Support the good people that support me here at the Art of Fatherhood. Go to solidroots.com to check out all their great games, including the fantastic game Mind the Gap.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.